Chapter 12. The Call Inferior. There was a place upon the Macrag's Honour where none were allowed to go but Rabute Gilliman, and he went by invitation only. Gilliman's shuttle landed in his personal hangar. From there, the Primarch went straight to the depths of his quarters. Located in a hidden space was a gene-locked elevator whose inbuilt weapons were primed to kill any other who attempted to access it. A simple retinal scan allowed him inside, but once he was within the elevator, the security protocols Gilliman underwent were extensive. Arcane devices on armatures extended from the walls to test his body, mental state, and spiritual aura. One by one, the machines croaked or twittered their approval, and the last withdrew into its recess. The elevator activated smoothly, descending 200 decks in a matter of seconds. It stopped nowhere else. At the bottom, its rear doors opened onto a chamber lit by rubicund false light. His Primarch's eyes struggled with the illumination. A mortal man would have been virtually blind. The chamber was hot, loud with the chatter of hidden machinery, and heavy with a sense of foreboding. Once through the doors on the far side of the chamber, that sensation would grow worse as Gilliman was exposed to the psychic circuitry of Call's blasphemous device. First, he must undergo another series of tests. Again, he passed each one, and the chamber's far doors opened into a second and much larger circular space, lit the same bloody colour. The doors were complex, three interleaving sets of metre-thick bonded hex steel, whose toothed edges clunked ominously as they unlocked from each other. The chamber's spherical exterior walls were similarly armoured. Call's machine would survive the death of the Macrag's Honour itself. Gilliman readied himself for the greater psychic pressure and stepped inside. His head throbbed. The air smelt of ozone, sanctified oil, curdled milk, and old blood. At 20 meters across, the interior space of the machine was modest by voidship standards. A grilled floor was suspended over a pit full of humming machines, dividing the interior space into two. Quieter than virtually everything Gilliman had seen in this benighted era, the machines nevertheless made the room vibrate at a high frequency with the turning of their parts. Through the floor grille came the majority of the red light, confusing shadow and highlight and breaking down any visual sense of the space.
"Lumens!" barked Gilliman,
the machinery's high whine dropping to a grumble. The red crept down the walls like fire dying. The metal of the room groaned in relief, as if the touch of the red light had a physical effect upon it. Hard white lumens snapped on above, banishing the sanguine glow to beneath the flooring and bringing the room's features into sharp focus. The chamber seemed smaller in the cleaner light, and its features were clearly resolved. A small door opened directly opposite the main gate. Closed panels at a man's eye level lined the walls between the two doors, 10 on the left and 10 on the right. Pipes bound tightly by metal staples hung in swags from the ceiling. A small mercy, in Gilliman's opinion, was that the chamber was free of the gothic extravagance that encrusted everything else in the 41st millennium. It was pure of form, if not of function. The machina opus glaring down from a rondel set into the domed ceiling was the sole decoration. Even Belisarius Call was not radical enough to omit that symbol. The room's other access slid upwards. It, too, comprised three massively thick doors that opened in sequence. On the far side were the quarters of Gaidus Locenti. They were totally black, for Locenti had no need of light of any kind.
"My lord."
Locenti appeared in the doorway and came into the room. As he detached himself from the blackness, pools of it came with him in his eye sockets. His body appeared old and frail, but as he drew near the Primarch, the inner strength that allowed Locenti to withstand the psychic pressure of the machine became palpable. There was great power clinging to his aged mortal frame.
"I came as quickly as I could, Master Astropath," said Gilliman.
Locenti smiled, the skin wrinkling around the darkness in his eyes, which, when one was close enough, revealed themselves to be shiny black orbs of jet. Locenti paced around the Imperial Regent restlessly. As he walked, he placed his staff with utmost surety, the ferrule that capped the black wood never once slipping into the holes of the grating.
"To speak with my lord pleases me," he said.
Locenti had the voice of a much younger man.
"Are you well?"
"I am well."
With one blue-veined, pale hand, Locenti pulled back the green hood of his robes. His scalp was hairless, and his skull clearly defined under its covering of parchment-thin skin.
"I trust your duty remains onerous but bearable."
"I thank you for your concern. I do not enjoy my duty, Lord Militant. The nature of call sendings are exceptionally tedious and lack the vitality one experiences when minds touch across the immensity of the void. I think he might use a machine, although once I would have said such a thing were impossible."
Locenti paused, waiting for Gilliman to confirm or refute this notion.
"Perhaps he does," said Gilliman. "Having witnessed what I have of his works, nothing would surprise me."
Locenti resumed his walk around the Primarch, staff clicking unerringly on the metal.
"However, I do not wish to change it. Call's missives are so simple they suffer no corruption of the like that has plagued astro-telepathy since the opening of the Great Rift. There is no interference, no unwelcome intrusion. I am alone here, and isolated from my own kind, and that is hard to bear. The times I must be within the machine pain me greatly, but I am free from insanity, and as much as we all wish to serve the Imperium above all things, I admit to a certain sentimental attachment to my own life and soul."
"If you ever crave release, Locenti, I can provide it."
Locenti had a clear, youthful laugh to match his voice. Its brightness angered whatever skulked in the machine's depths, and the spiritual pressure grew.
"My lord, forgive me. We both are aware of what release means. I assure you, I am content. You may keep the mercy of your bolt gun for the time being. Now, shall we begin?"
"If you would, Master Astropath."
Locenti worked alone as his mission dictated. He had been selected from the strongest astropaths Gilliman could find. Among his many gifts, Locenti required no translator for his visions, but was able to recall the images from his fugues and explain them himself. Not a particularly unusual skill in an astropath, but a crucial one to the running of a machine that secrecy demanded have a sole operator, and when found in conjunction with his fortitude, rare indeed.
"By the will of the Omnissiah," he said in his crystal voice, "engage initiation sequence."
A crunching sounded from within the curved walls. A harsh machine voice boomed out.
"Provide identity."
"Astropath Prime Ultra Guidus Locenti."
"Ident confirmed. Secondary unlock necessary." "Primarch Rabute Gilliman," spoke the Primarch. "Lord Militant of the High Lords of the Imperium of Man and Imperial Regent. Secondary unlock ident confirmed. Stand by for gene scan. Gene scan."
A flat band of green light fanned out from the wall. It washed up and down the Primarch and the Astropath.
"Gene scan confirmed. Ident confirmed. Code required."
A noise dampener projected a cone of null sound around Gilliman. He heard nothing. Even the vibrations of the machines under his feet were robbed of auditory expression. From Gilliman's position, Locenti's lips moved wordlessly. Gilliman looked away. He could lip-read. Call knew that. The first and only time he had idly let his gaze rest on the astropath's face while he spoke his code, Gilliman had been temporarily blinded by a las strobe. He could not fault Call's dedication to security, though his attention to detail bordered on pathological. For 10,000 years, Call's procedures had kept Rabute Gilliman's secrets for him. He had no grounds for criticism. The null sound cone snapped off. Gilliman spoke out his own code, a string of nonsensical words that changed depending on the date.
"Codes accepted," said the voice. "Commencing main series activation sequence."
The 20 small doors in the walls opened downwards. Behind each was a lit armor glass tank containing a severed human head bathed in clear yellow nutrient fluids. Metal neatly capped each neck. From these issued small bundles of tidy cables and pipes that curled downwards under the heads, then up into the machines above them.
"Activation code required," said the voice.
This time, there was no null sound cone. The code sent astropathically to Lucenti by call to turn on his abominable machine was different every time, and there was no need to rob the Primarch of his hearing. Call made a virtue of economy in all things he did.
"Charnable crow, white crow, white crow, white crow, charnable crow, black crow," said Lucenti.
"Code accepted, code accepted, code accepted," said the machine. "Stand by for communion. Call inferior awakening rite underway. Stand by for communion."
Machines hidden behind the paneling surged into life. The chug of the devices below them grew more muted, ceding space to the waking voices of the others. Thin lines in the metal walls, invisible before, glowed with sluggish, golden energies. Circuitry engraved into the tank's glass glimmered similarly, and the faces of the heads twitched. Gilliman was absorbed by the jerking of their muscles. The weight pressing onto his psyche grew. Lucenti grimaced at the Primarch.
"I ask your leave to depart, Primarch," he said. "The awakened machine's presence is uncomfortable for me."
"Yes, yes, of course," said Gilliman.
He tore his eyes away from the severed heads.
"Please, you do not need to ask my permission. We have done this many times. I know how much the call inferior pains you when active."
Lucenti gave a slight, grateful bow, tugged up his hood, and walked back towards his perpetually dark quarters.
"Lucenti!"
called Gilliman on a whim, raising his voice over the smooth thumping of the machine. Lucenti paused at the threshold of his door.
"What do you do down here when you are not needed, when you are alone?"
Lucenti turned his head. His wrinkled face was bathed in the warm light of Call's device.
"I write poetry," he said, "and I dream of better times."
The doors slid shut behind him, leaving Gilliman alone in the chamber of the Call inferior. Gilliman lacked the psychic potential that his father had granted to several of his brothers, but he was a child of the Emperor's making, and he was sensitive to psychic energies of which a true non-psyker would be ignorant. Some hidden part of the world changed. Energy ran more freely around the channels engraved into the walls, extending its web outwards from the heads until the whole room was a tracery of golden lambency. The yellow light outshone the ruddy light of the machine hall under the floor and the bright lumens overhead. As the energy network expanded, it hit upon hidden signs in the fabric of the room. Warding rooms in the secret techno-arcana tongue of Magos Sykana blazed brightly, along with others of obvious alien origin. Call was a magpie Magos, taking what he needed no matter its ancestry. His free thinking made Gilliman profoundly uneasy, but a labor 10,000 years long, delivered perfectly, attested to the Archmagos's efficacy. He had been instrumental in restoring Gilliman to life in this terrible age, and, most amazingly, in creating the Primaris Space Marines, Call had improved upon the Emperor's own designs.
"I have no choice but to trust him," thought Gilliman. "That's the only practical I need consider here."
As the light grew, the constant, hollow pain in Gilliman's chest intensified, as if the two were inextricably linked. He gritted his teeth as the gnawing in his gut outdid the pressure in his head. The muscle twitches in the tanks became a frenzy of gurning. The heads jerked and jiggled, mouths gaping in silent, drowned screams. Bubbles streamed over clay flesh, agitating the surface of the fluids that nourished them. Eyelids fluttered over eyes that appeared, just for a second, to contain some shred of native intelligence, and they looked out from their watery prisons with absolute horror. Pressure built at the back of Gilliman's mind until his eyes throbbed. The air smelled of hot steel, and his saliva took on a metallic flavour. The emptiness his soul contained expanded beyond the physical confines of his body. There was a definite pop, not generated by the machines, he was certain, and suddenly all was still. The thumping of the hidden devices levelled out to a quiet whir. The faces ceased their pained contortions. Their eyes went blank and closed. The bubbling ceased. Gilliman waited. The pains the machine brought did not decrease, but familiarity made them bearable. There was a clunk, a hiss. Then the eyes opened again, and a fresh machine voice spoke. The emotionless coppery burr of Archmagos Belisarius call.
Greetings, Lord Primarch, Lord Commander, Lord Imperial Regent, the Lord Gilliman of the High Twelve.
The mouths of the heads gaped clumsily, silently parroting the machine voice's words.
That last title has no meaning, said Gilliman.
For a millennium, your name was an honorific for weaker men. By the conventions of those times, you are the Lord Gilliman, said the call inferior.
Gilliman had no idea whether the machine was mocking him or working its way down some dead-end logical path.
Redundant repetition. Your resumption of the original title is illogical. The position of Lord Militant was banned in the wake of the Great War of the Beast.
Gilliman knew little of that conflict, or of the infamous beheading that followed. The near destruction of the Imperium had passed call by. The Archmagos had been deep in his studies of the Emperor's fragmentary research notes, and therefore his records of it were maddeningly brief. Most of the histories appertaining to it had been deliberately destroyed.
Your recreation of the position lacks wisdom. The position of Lord Commander is similar in title to that of Lord Commander Militant of the Astra Militarum. It has a 50% match with that of Lord Commander of the Segmentum Solar. Inefficiency can arise by duplication of titles. Confusion is inevitable. I prefer Imperial Regent. No other can lay claim to the wording of this honour.
I am more than a title, said Gilliman. Every time we speak, Call, you bring this up.
I am not Call. I simulate Call. Familiar complaints act as social bonds between members of the human species. I seek to emulate this interaction to make you comfortable with my aberrant existence. This preamble is to ease tension and re-establish bonds between Belisarius Call and Robute Gilliman.
You make poor conversation, machine. Deliver your report.
Call had lived 10,000 years. Such a great span of time would wear out all but the greatest of souls. The changes he had wrought upon his body to support his mind through it had stripped most of his humanity away. His emotions had become ghosts in the great mechanism his mind now inhabited, and here, mediated through the call inferior, they should have been practically absent. But Gilliman could never shake the feeling of intense superiority hidden in Call's emotionless pronouncements, nor ignore the touch of sardonic humour that revealed itself from time to time, even in this soulless facsimile.
It is not the report of the call inferior. It is Archmagos Belisarius Call's report.
It is easy to forget, said Gilliman, that you are a mechanism, and that such large amounts of information can be conveyed by such simple encoded messages.
The information does not come from the message. The information is innate to my construction. The code unlocks the appropriate response. My creator supplied me multiple likely scenarios that he, in his great wisdom and genius, mathematically extrapolated. The messages I receive merely modify these prognostications to fit the actuality of current circumstances. My programming is preloaded. These linked brains and the logic engines in the greater portion of this chamber contain all eventualities relevant to the tasks undertaken by Lord Rabute Gilliman and Archmagos Belisarius Call. All probable futures are within me.
Gilliman looked around at the heads. They were too individual to have come from vat-born slaves, and there was no sign of the penal coding tattoos worn by servitors drawn from criminal stock. He did not want to know where Call had sourced his grisly collection.
"I am impressed, as always, Call Inferior," he said.
This was also a conversation they had had many times before. The machine's voice changed, becoming hectoring.
"Then my master repeats his request that you install him as Fabricator General of Mars. You replaced 5 of the High 12 upon assumption of the regency of the Imperium and hundreds of the lesser High Lords. You have done this several times since. What is one more?"
"For the 100th time, I will not do this. The Imperium does not exert so much control over Mars that I may appoint my own Fabricator General, and they would never accept you, even if I could. The tenets of your creed forbid such artificial consciousnesses as this. Your experiments..."
"Archmagos Belisarius calls experiments, not my experiments," said the machine, pedantically.
"Very well," conceded Gilliman. "Call's experiments have made him many enemies."
"The detail is open to interpretation," said the machine. "Take this unit, for example. I am no abominable intelligence, as your attitude implies you believe me to be. My responses are not spontaneously generated, but predetermined. The servitors that make up my being are sanctioned for use. They are not machines, and what they generate, me, the Call Inferior, is not a unique creation, but a limited expression of Archmagos Belisarius Call's mind. By these means, I am free of the wickedness of forbidden sentience. Archmagos Belisarius Call is a genius. Consider this unit further. The hexadecimal encoding that he projects to this unit is immune to decryption, for it is incomplete. My responses are inherent to this unit's cogitators. An astropathic message can be intercepted no matter how many locks are put upon it. Anything that uses the electromagnetic spectrum is worse. Not only can it degrade or be captured or be lost, but the journey of a message from where Call is now to where you are would take 3,000 Terran years. Expediency is the enemy of dogma. You have asked him to be expeditious. He alone has been able to unlock, understand, and improve upon the work of the Emperor. He alone is the master of 100 fields of technology. He alone is unafraid of innovation. He is the best candidate to rule Mars. I present his petition to you. Give Archmagos Belisarius Call Mars, and he will hand you the galaxy."
Gilliman had of course considered doing exactly this, but he did not lie to the Call Inferior. The result could be outright civil war in the Adeptus Mechanicus's sub-empire of Forge Worlds.
"Your colleagues would disagree with your evaluation," he said. "It cannot be done."
"I have no colleagues."
"His colleagues, then?"
"His colleagues are limited. Their beliefs have become a faith that they dare not challenge. The Adeptus Mechanicus is far more trammelled in its thinking than the Mechanicum of your time was, my Lord Gilliman, and the Archmagos was a radical in those distant centuries. You would not have come to him if he were not. Already you have asked him to perform many forbidden duties. You are as culpable as he in any crime that may or may not have taken place."
"I am no adherent of the machine god's creed," said Gilliman.
"You have asked the Archmagos to interfere with technologies expressly forbidden by your own creator, the Emperor of Mankind."
The machine waited expectantly, far too lifelike for a supposedly lifeless machine. Gilliman did not believe it was free of will. There had been in Gilliman's youth a device called the Thracian Automaton. Fashioned in the semblance of a man, the machine had played at regicide with any who would challenge it, and won every game. Questions could be put to it on matters of science and history, and the answers it gave were unerringly correct. Connor, Gilliman's adoptive father, had taken the boy Primarch to see this marvel. Gilliman had seen through it immediately and challenged its creator. The man had insisted that it work from the old sciences, showing the consul and his adopted son complicated workings within the figure. But Gilliman would not be convinced, and he had leapt forwards and torn loose the mannequin. Inside the stool it sat upon was a very real, if rather short, man. The man had proved to be a marvellous polymath, if a cheat, and he had spent many years serving Gilliman's foster father. The Thracian automaton had been a powerful lesson. It was probable that the call inferior was an inverse of that device, a real machine intelligence masquerading as a pretense. Gilliman was no technologist of the ability his brothers Perturabo, Vulcan, or Ferus Manus had been, but he doubted that the Archmagos was telling him the complete truth about how the machinery worked. It was clearly partly psychic in nature, a blend of various Xenos and Imperial technologies, which made it heretical by the tenets of the Adeptus Mechanicus in several regards, whether it could think or not.
"The final answer is no, as it is every time," said Gilliman.
The machine clicked deep in its cybernetic innards, filing the response for later broadcast to call.
"Give me call's report," commanded Gilliman.
"The Conclave Acquisitorius proceeds through the galaxy. Call has recently finished war operations on Cadmus Fosp. Unfortunately, the pylons discovered there are too degraded to be reactivated, and so he must begin his quest anew."
"So he cannot yet reproduce the technology?"
"Regrettably, not yet. Not on the scale necessary for your ends, my lord."
The slack mouths of the heads continued their jerky aping of the machine's voice.
"Archmagos Call has formulated a number of smaller experimental devices that project a similar effect to the Xenos originals, albeit to a lesser degree. He has provided several to seal the pit of Rorkas. They will arrive soon."
"I'm aware of this. That is why we are here. That is why the battle for Rorkas was fought."
"Forgive me, my lord. I can say only what my cogitators select as the most appropriate response according to Call's code," said the machine.
Was this a lie or a genuine artifact of how the machine worked? Call obfuscated everything.
"Will the devices work?"
"They will be staples in a wound. Call does not yet understand how the pylons function completely, but the actions of the test devices here will further his research. Eventually, he will be able to replicate the technology, and he shall bring the rift under control, parsec by parsec, until the Great Rift is at last sealed. This he swears, my lord. He shall dedicate the remainder of his life to it."
Gilliman scratched his face thoroughly. His chin was stubbly. He had neglected his personal grooming these last few days.
"Encouraging words."
"I am instructed to offer a cautionary note, my lord," replied the machine. "The culmination of this research is a long way off. Nevertheless, now Archmagos Belisarius Call has fulfilled his oaths to you and delivered the Primaris Space Marines as commanded, he has more available cogitation power to put to this task. The principle of the pylons is sound. The technology is proven. With what little remained of the pylon network around Cadia, he came close to sealing the Eye of Terror. He will not give up now. The devices that are en route to 108 Beta Calipus 9.2 are untested. They may be unstable. They may work for a while before failing. They may not work at all.
They are inferior to the technologies of the Necrons in every way. Our understanding of metaphysical science is hopeless compared to theirs.
The call inferior uttered the blasphemy as easily as it might bid good day. The idea that alien technology was in any way superior to that of humanity was anathema to the machine cult.
Without testing, Archmagos Belisarius' call cannot be sure of the efficacy of their design. With time, and should the conclave Acquisitorius be successful in its quest to find an intact planetary pylon network, he will be able to refine the design.
If these designs do work, surely we can make use of them now, said Gilliman. Assuming Kor's pylons are functional, how long will it be before we can establish stable corridors to the Imperium Nihilus? That is a matter of pressing concern.
Decades, at least, said the machine. Possibly centuries. This trial will better inform Archimagos Belisarius' call, and he will better inform you, my Lord Gilliman. But Belisarius' call will triumph. The ancient races held the answers. The old ones, the Necrons, the Eldari. Soon we shall hold all the pieces to the puzzle that they held only in part. We shall fit them together. We shall succeed where they failed, and overcome the monsters spawned by our own minds.
Again, there was a flash of emotion in the call inferior's words, that of determination and anger. The technologies that sustained it hummed.
Trafficking with Xenos, the usage of forbidden technology. Your peers in the cult Mechanicus will not take kindly to this.
I predict their response will be nothing short of furious, my Lord Regent. They hate Belisarius' call. Envy motivates them if they knew the extent to which his knowledge outreaches theirs. Some would move to destroy him and his creations. I trust you will shelter me should the time come.
Gilliman laughed. He did not laugh often now, and when he did, it was sorrowful.
The call inferior. You betray your disguise. You wish for protection as a living being would.
I require it. I do not desire or not desire it. My continued existence is necessary. If Call dies, the sum total of his knowledge exists within me. That is why I must live. If he dies, you will at least have me. Archmagos Belisarius' call can protect himself. I cannot.
Archmagos' call is the last being I know who needs protection from anybody, agreed Gilliman. And you are safe here in the bowels of the Macrag's honor. Now, the Primaris Space Marines, we have a century of data. How are they performing?
Archmagos Belisarius' call repeats that all gene lines continue to operate at peak efficiency. Tested gene seed reveals a mutational deviancy of less than 0.001% per generation. All Adeptus Astartes chapters once again have access to the full suite of additional organs, replacing those zygotes lost through improper treatment or evolutionary variants with the addition of the three new implants. All chapters who have adopted the Primaris paradigm have adapted to the new creation processes with minimal wastage of recruits or mistakes in implantation. As can be expected, those new Primaris strain chapters founded by you, my lord, have the lowest error rate. The new equipment functions well. Requests for resupply with the new type of Battle Brother and their associated weaponry have increased, suggesting a 94% acceptance rate among the chapters.
What of those gene lines with more deeply ingrained flaws? Asked Gilliman. The Blood Angels and the Space Wolves.
Call's research and his own reading had uncovered dangerous faults that the sons of both gene lines in question had done their best to hide.
My standard response remains unchanged. Archmagos Belisarius' call understands your reservations. The corrected flaws in the new gene stocks show no signs of regression to previous unstable states, whether in successor chapters composed entirely of the new Primaris Space Marine type, or in already established chapters. Elimination entirely of the more idiosyncratic traits of some gene lines is, however, not to be recommended. They form part of the Emperor's original vision and are, in any case, crucial to their proper function. I will restate Archimagos Belisarius Call's position on this matter. The improved gene seed of 9th and 6th Legion stock is operating within acceptable parameters. Furthermore, he has continued experimental implantation and monitoring of the thus far unused gene seed in experimental test subjects. That of the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 8th, 11th, 12th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, and 20th legions all show no sign of degradation or incidence of unwelcome tendencies within the recipients. All is well, my lord. Archimagos Belisarius Call reassures you. He is so satisfied that I am instructed to repeat his request that those gene lines be put into full production and be allowed to serve the Imperium as the Emperor intended.
No, said Gilliman firmly, I cannot allow it.
My lord, the characteristics of your brothers are too valuable to discard. The Emperor's original schema of warriors bred to specific purposes is sound and should be exploited. Under the current circumstances, we are operating with half our weapons unavailable to us. The plan is unbalanced. Putting the remaining 11 augmented Primaris gene lines into production would allow far greater tactical and strategic flexibility of Space Marine forces, particularly when working in concert.
I say again, no. Do not progress any further with this research.
The warriors were not at fault. The science is not at fault. Their primarchs were. Chapters from your gene line have also fallen in the past millennia, Lord Regent, and we do not censor them.
I said no, said Gilliman forcefully.
There was a silence full of hums and clicks. As you command, my lord, said the machine, eventually. Archimagos Belisarius Call will comply.
Can I truly believe that? Thought Gilliman.
All magi of the Adeptus Mechanicus hungered for knowledge. When they had it, they could rarely refrain from using it. On this particular matter, he did not trust Call one whit. Gilliman's manner betrayed nothing of his thoughts.
Is there anything else? He asked.
That concludes the selection of responses engendered by today's code reception, said the Call Inferior. I shall prepare myself for encoding of your orders to Archimagos Belisarius Call.
Things clacked and turned somewhere, awaiting Gilliman's words. Another simple code would be projected to a second ghoulish mind aboard Call's Ark ship. In the same way that Call's message had been delivered to Gilliman, preset responses would activate within this other unit in response to the code. Or so Call insisted.
Here are my orders.
Gilliman had no time nor any need for the preamble the Call Inferior has subjected him to.
The enemy fleet at Raucus has been crushed. The Indomitus Crusade is over. I will shortly return to Macragge to face my brother Mortarion, who has come forth from his lair. You are to continue your efforts to unravel the secrets of the pylons. We will persevere in this war, but ultimate survival of mankind can only be assured by undoing the damage Abaddon has inflicted on the fabric of reality. Concentrate on this above all else.
That is all?
That is all.
I shall deliver the coding to activate those elements of the message.
The next time we speak, I shall provide a time and coordinates for Archimagos Call and I to meet by lithocast, if not face to face. It has been 12 years since our last direct consultation.
The machine was silent. The flapping mouths of the heads hung still.
The Call Inferior, said Gilliman.
A machine coughed under the floor. The red light shone brighter, tinting the golden light of the mind circuits orange.
That may not be possible, my lord.
Where exactly are you, Call? What are you doing?
The servitor was silent. Cogitator data wheels chattered behind the walls of the chamber. The red light glowed brighter. The gold faded.
This unit does not possess that information.
Gilliman stared at the servitors. Dead eyes in dead heads stared back, oblivious to his suspicions. Could they see him? Could the thing lie?
I have no more information to impart, said the Call inferior. Good day, my Lord Gilliman.
The machine shut off. The glimmering light in the channels died. With one last spastic jerk, the heads went slack in their tanks. The doors slid shut over each armored glass compartment. Suddenly, the painful pressure of the machine was reduced back to its merely uncomfortable background level. Gilliman breathed hard through his teeth. These consultations made him tense. For all his usefulness and his desire to save mankind, Gilliman could foresee a time when Belisarius' call became a problem.